Well, sir, it's late afternoon in Tarzino now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Dick, Spade, and young Rupter. The gentlemen of the family are newly arrived home from the office in Chapman's vacant lot, and they stand beside the Davenport, attentively listening to the mistress of the menage, who says,
"She made it sound like quite a jolly, gay little evening. It's an elegant, warm day," she said, "and going to be an elegant, warm evening, and we'll soon start not having elegant, warm evenings with September here and all. Ted wants us to come over directly after supper so we can take advantage of every bit of daylight. What's the matter?"
"Take my hat and hang it up in the hallway, Rester."
"Okay. Mom, would I tell you the joke about the man in the streetcar conductor?"
"No. What's the matter? Do you have something else planned for this evening?"
"No. I haven't a thing planned for this evening."
"Who's the Johnson telephone, Mom?"
"No. Oh, what's eating you?"
"You don't have the slightest idea, huh?"
"No.
Not the inkiest idea."
"You're not mad at Ted."
"Ted is a fathead."
"Well, yes, it's plain. When we played cards Friday evening and you and Ted had that argument about Republicans and Democrats and press, were you really angry at each other?"
"No."
"Well,
dear. Ted Stenbottom has pulled the same stunt 40 times.
"What stunt? What stunt?"
"You don't know what stunt?"
"I said 9 times, I didn't."
"Ted Stenbottom called you up in the telephone and
I never even talked to Ted. It was Ruthie telephone. Last time I talked to Ted was last Friday night when we sold cards."
"That beg by bone."
"Why, George, Mom, you joke about the man
with
the
seaside
conductor.
It
seems
the seaside
conductor is
winning
like a
weasel."
"What are you talking about,
huh?" "Now, listen, Dick." "The big half-wit
ox."
"You're referring to Ted,
huh?" "Sure."
"Well, are you going to keep on standing there looking like a thundercloud and calling Ted names?"
"Pull this stunt 9 million times."
"Look at us run around in circles. What's that?
Inviting us over to his house and putting us to work, mixing concrete and tearing down partitions and mowing the lawn and shingling the roof."
"This isn't that.
Russell, bring me a glass of cold water. I think I'm losing my mind. Spade, I'd bet every nickel I could beg, borrow, or steal that you told me less than 3 minutes ago Ted Stenbottom invited us over to his house to work on his automobile."
"Yes."
"You did say that?"
"Of course."
"Russell, bring Mama a glass of cold water. She's the party losing the head."
"Look, you love to tinker with automobiles."
"Now what, Labby, you set a innuendo where we're getting into?"
"You do love to tinker with automobiles, don't you? You say you do often enough. And many and many and many is the evening you've gone across the alley and lay down on your back all dirty and greasy for hours on end under Charlie Ray's thumb's broken down junkies of a car. All that gives me the impression you just crave to tinker with automobiles. All right, Ruthie telephones and invites you to come tinker with Ted's automobile. Naturally, I thought you'd win me like a weasel, you'd be so happy. So I said, sure, Ruthie. All right, that's where I stand. Now, where do you stand?"
"I believe you mentioned the changing of tires. I believe you mentioned the scraping of spark plugs. Also, I seem to recollect you saying something about cleaning the coal dust out of the back seat."
"Yes, I did."
"Do you imagine I'd enjoy myself changing tires and scraping spark plugs and fooling around with hunks of coal?"
"You do it at Charlie Ray's enough and love it."
"I don't do that."
"Do what?"
"Change tires and bring spark plugs."
"With tinkering in it?"
"No."
"It's not?"
"No."
"Well, beautiful stars above, what is tinkering?"
"You're suggesting carburetors and stepping up engines and experimenting with gas mixtures. That's what I do over to Charlie's. Holy smoke, that chimpanzee Ted has asked me to do hard manual labor. Over Charlie's, I scribble around the scientific stuff. I've always been crazy about gasoline engines. And when I get one to play with, I'm completely happy. But this ox Ted wants me to drudge."
"I'm beginning to see the light. If you people are interested in my opinion, I'm interested in my opinion."
"What exactly did Ruthie say, Dave?"
"She said her and Ted wanted us to folks to the Wolfies to waltz over there this evening."
"You can leave out the baby now."
"What?"
"Folksy the Wolfies. Tell me about Ted's hat with tires."
"You better watch that corner, boy."
"Tell me about Ted's hat with tires."
"Putting the back ones on the front and the front ones on the back and the side ones on the other side."
"Crosswood." "He's crosswood in his tires. Changing them around so they wear more even. The term crosswood is derived from an Indian legend where it's seen some beautiful picture."
"Hey, there's no lugs on Ted's rim."
"No lugs on Ted's rim?"
"Not a sign of a lug."
"What's this, some new foreign language?" "No lugs on Ted's rim."
"A lug, Mom, a little trap that fit on the rim of an automobile wheel. They make it easier to remove the tire off.
4 tires to pry off and 4 tires to pry on. That's murder."
"Yes, I never knew. I was astonished that this expression you got on your face when I told you about Ruthie telephoning. I thought you'd jump up and kick your heels for joy. I thought you'd be in heaven at the chance to tinker with an automobile. I remembered how often you slipped on your overalls and trotted over to raise his thumbs. Just dance so much pleasure at the prospect of getting all dirty and greasy.
Do you see how this is different?
Yeah, I do now.
It's as if I cordially invited Ted to step around and spend a hilarious evening cleaning up the basin, or shingling the roof, or washing out my shirts and socks.
I think the people will agree with my opinion.
Any jolly pastime that Lucy mentioned, in addition to changing tires, scraping spark plugs, and cleaning out hunks of coal.
Oh, something about
me scraping tires. Oh, really? Small. No, kiddo, the point is that you were right about me liking to tinker with automobiles, but you were wrong about me liking to wrestle with automobiles.
Lucy made it sound real pleasant.
Did she? In what way?
Well, she bought a big pack of peanuts, so you tell us to munch on while you work.
All the peanuts in creation couldn't tempt me to change one of Ted Stenbottom's half-wit tires.
It was her idea to run an automobile out in the driveway, and then she planned to put chairs in the yard for us ladies to sit on. We could kind of halfway all be together and talk and be sociable.
And Cuff would be mighty sociable about the time he wrapped his knuckles with a jack handle.
I say.
Yeah, she made it sound real enjoyable. So we could have all kinds of fun laughing and joking.
Okay.
When it got dark, she said, maybe you could push the car back in the garage and work by electric light till 10:30 or so.
Hi,
Jack. Hi. And after that, we could all go in the house and wash our hands and have some strawberry ice cream.
You described an evening of almost unendurable ecstasy.
You really think Ted is asking too much?
Of course he's asking too much. Asking a guy to put in 5 or 6 hours of the toughest kind of manual labor. Why, I wouldn't wish the job of changing them packwood tires of his on my worst enemy.
He might have thought two fellas working together that way might make a game out of it.
Oh, fuck.
Well, don't put any blame on Lucy. She's innocent. He wasn't trying to put anything over. We'll all be together off the side of the house in the fresh air, she said. I'll put chairs on the grass and you can sit and chat while the men shovel coal out of the back seat and stuff. Sounded like fun to her.
Regular sissy.
Well, I've got some other interesting thoughts at the top. I imagine you people be interested in him. Yeah. Now, in my opinion,
well,
what about a time
we do? Telephone and call it off?
Don't you think that's what we should do?
What'll I tell Lucy?
Look better ahead.
No, sir.
Why not?
I've never said to Lucy in my life. I'm going to start this late in the day.
Well, I have got an incipient headache. A headache that lurks around the corner every time I conjure up a mental picture of myself trying to pry loose a tire from one of them doggone out-of-date rooms.
Well, I'm not going to tell Lucy any story.
Okay, tell her the truth.
No, I'm not going to hurt her feelings either.
This tire.
Yeah, sure. And that's correct, too. I am tired. I had a big day at the office. I'm worn to a frazzle.
You're able to be up and around.
Oh, just barely. However, I'm not able to be up and around enough to spend 6 hours shoveling coal out of...
You telephone.
Huh?
You telephone, Lucy.
All right.
Better do it right now.
I'd be more convincing of you, really.
No, you.
If you think it's a little peculiar...
Probably will. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'll volunteer to...
Look, Andy. Just tell her that you're...
No,
pardon.
No, you got to listen there, Russell. Go ahead. Number 25728.
Okay.
Well, it's Clark's father. Do you
want to have it quiet, will you?
25728.
You ought to know that number by this time.
25728, please. Correct. You make me feel like a crook. Dave.
What?
You make me feel like a crook.
Do I?
You think of me, this piece of... Oh, it was...